For the past few weeks, we've been in this series, Getting Past Your Past. In the first week, we looked at getting past our personal failures. Last week, we spoke about breaking the labels that bind, and today we're tackling a very tough subject. You might need to turn me down a bit, fraction. Alan, just a bit of feedback. Yeah, that's the one. And this morning, we tackle a very challenging topic in forgiveness. And I forgot to mention in the offering, kids, you can head out, but youth, you can stay in today if you so wish. So youth will stay in. If you're in primary school, you can head out. But this morning, we look at forgiveness, a tough subject. So let me pray for us as we do come to this challenging subject here this morning. Father, again, we come before you in prayer, and we thank you that we have the blessing and the opportunity to speak to you whenever we wish, whenever we feel prompted to you through the means of prayer. Lord God, and we look forward to tomorrow night as well, coming before you in prayer. It's such a powerful thing as we're going to look at today. And Lord God, we know that our prayers are heard. Lord God, we know that you are active in and through us as we pray. And Lord God, I pray that that would be evident once again this morning. But this very prayer that I'm praying, the words that I'm speaking, everyone would walk away from here knowing that that prayer was answered. Every single one of us. And we pray, Father, that you would do a work in us again. And we pray that every week, but that we do pray it from a heart, hopefully desiring to become more like you, so that this world may be impacted by us, our good deeds, and our desire to see your kingdom come, your will be done. And so, Lord, as we come to this challenging topic, this is one of those areas of our lives that we find so hard and so challenging. But yet I know there's people here that you want to speak to through what I've prepared, and I know that you want to do a work in us once again this morning. So Lord, as always, I pray that you would equip me with what I need to faithfully proclaim this message and deliver this in a way that will impact us for the better. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Amen. So again, the series is Getting Past Your Past, and for many of us here today, getting past your past means dealing with significant issues, situations in your life, painful things that people have done to us or that other people have done to someone that we may love. And the Bible tells us that we are ultimately to come to a place of forgiveness towards these people. Amen? Amen. Not only that, but sometimes we need to forgive ourselves for the mistakes and the failures that we have made, as Ivor mentioned in our first week of this series. So this morning we're going to unpack some of those issues of how we come to this place of forgiveness here this morning. And when we look at the Bible in particular, the greatest sermon that Jesus ever preached, which was the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus ultimately proclaimed himself as wisdom personified, amen? Greatest sermon ever preached. And the words of wisdom just jump out at the page when you read it. But it's interesting to note that one of the first things that Jesus tackles is forgiveness. And there's a reason for this. And if you want to turn your Bibles to that passage in Matthew chapter 5, where we see the greatest sermon ever preached, in particular verses 21 and 24, this is what we see Jesus say. You have heard that it was said that to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or a sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or a sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in the danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Forgiveness matters to God, doesn't it? This is a huge issue in the kingdom of God. And his desire is for us here today, each and every one of us, to come to a place where you and I can forgive those who have done wrong against us. To forgive those who have done wrong against someone that we love or someone that's close to us. I remember years ago when I was around early 20s, before we were married, I went up on a trip with a group of friends, with my sister and I. We organized this group of friends from our church to go up to our holiday house on the Central Coast. And there would have been at least 10 of us. It was quite a big group. And we went up there, and my sister and I had organized where everyone was staying, where everyone was sleeping, and we let everyone know. And it's my grandparents' place, and so we were naturally going to stay in my grandparents' bed because they didn't want randoms in their bed, I guess. So my sister and I slept in that bed. We organized everyone else to go wherever, and it was all fine. The night after, a few of our friends who missed the first night, they came up as well, and they stayed with us. And we went out for dinner. We had a great time just bonding and enjoying some fellowship together. And a few of us stayed on a bit later, whilst others went home to do whatever they did, watch TV, and then go to bed. When we arrived back from being out, the group of us that stayed out, I arrived back ready for bed. I was tired, about to get into bed. And one of the friends that had come up that day was in the bed with my sister. And I was upset about it because we had organized it and she obviously just didn't want to go to where she was meant to be sleeping. And so she said, I'll sleep here. My sister, they're good friends. And it upset me. And this was a girl, a friend that we had clashes, to be fair. We didn't get along all that well. It wasn't just me. She was a difficult personality. You know, those type of people that are difficult. They're just difficult people. This girl was a difficult person, and we clashed on many levels, and this was just the straw that broke the camel's back, that my sister as well didn't look out for what I believe should have been my best interest, but just caved in and said, yes, you can come in here, don't worry about that. And I had nowhere to sleep. I ended up sleeping on the lounge. So you can imagine I was pretty upset about this. We had it all sorted, and this is what happened. A petty thing, I know, but I was extremely upset. I have it stormed out of the house. It's like, this is ridiculous. I was angry with her because we clashed on so many things, and then here she was again, this friend of mine, doing this. A petty thing, I know. But in that moment, I realized that God was trying to teach me something. And not long before this situation, I actually prayed that God would teach me compassion. He would teach me compassion for people. And in this very moment, he was answering my prayer, because I realized in that moment that this girl that was a friend of ours, I knew her history, I knew her background, she was operating out of a brokenness. She had a very broken history, a very broken background. And so I came to a place of having compassion to her. And that wasn't the only time that she did wrong against me. She did wrong against me a number of times after that, and we still clashed. But I was able to come to a place of forgiveness towards her. Basically because I knew her background, I had a sense of compassion for her. It was hard, don't get me wrong. But God did a work in my life in that situation.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah indeed. But forgiveness is a difficult thing, a huge issue, isn't it, in our lives? Something that we drastically struggle to come to terms with. And basically, when we struggle with unforgiveness or forgiveness, we come to this place generally when someone offends us. At the root of unforgiveness is offense. When someone offends us or does wrong by us. And as we tackle this issue this morning, I have no doubt that it will bring up issues for some of us here today. Deep rooted issues that we probably thought that we had dealt with in the past, but really we've only swept it under the carpet and just put it to the side of our minds, forgotten about it. And so to tackle this issue this morning, I want to ask us two key questions of us. And the first question is this: why should I forgive? If God calls us to forgive, why should I forgive? And Scripture first and foremost says, because Christ has forgiven us. Why should you and I forgive? Because Christ has forgiven you and I. Colossians 1, 12 to 14, that Kim read out to us, says, therefore, again, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Likewise, Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ has forgiven you. The mandate is clear for God's people, isn't it? We are to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. Ultimately, the reality is forgiven people forgive people. Amen. Let me repeat that. Forgiven people forgive people. And this goes to the heart of what we are on about as a church, our vision statement, transformed by Christ, to grow in Christ, to become like Christ, in thought, word, and deed. If this is in fact what God desires for our lives, that we forgive as He's forgiven, then we need to come to that place. That is the mandate. And again, sometimes it is about forgiving ourselves for our failures, our sin, our mistakes that we've done against others as well. But again, it's so hard to do. And it's because this natural inclination of ours is to put ourselves first. It's all about self-preservation, isn't it? That's how we operate. That's the natural condition. That's the way we're conditioned because of sin. It's not about putting others first or worrying about them. It's about us. You've offended me. You've hurt me. It's all about us. And it is hard, in particular, when we are dealing with significant trauma or hardship that someone has done against us. But to emphasize the importance of God's people, living this way of life out, Jesus told this parable in Matthew 18, 21 to 35. He told this story. He said in verse 21, it says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked him, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times, maybe?' Jesus answers, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times.'" He's not talking literally, okay, if someone offends you up to 70, okay, I'll forgive you. 71, 2, 3, 4, 5, 77, that's it, no more forgiveness. It's just showing how much we should be forgiving people every step of the way. I would say, and most likely Jesus is saying here, 77 and then another 77 and then another 77 times. We should always be ready to forgive people who offend us or do wrong against us. And again, to emphasize this, he tells the parable of the story of a king who wants to settle his accounts with his servants. And these servants owed the king, text says, 10,000 talents each. That's the equivalent of 150,000 working days. 150,000 days of labor. Imagine if you owed your boss that. That's the equivalent in today's metrics, in today's language, of $2 billion. There's no way they're paying it back, is there? There's no way you and I could pay something like that back. And the text even says that. Jesus says that they weren't able to pay it back. And so the servant, one servant in particular, begs for mercy. "I cannot repay it, Lord, King. Please have mercy upon my soul." The text says the king, the master, he took pity on him, he cancelled the debt and let him go. How awesome would that feeling be, that burden lifted off your shoulders, your debt paid for. Don't have to worry about it ever again. You can imagine how ecstatic this servant is, and he goes back to his village and he's probably cheering about this reality. And then there's another person in the village that owes him money, the equivalent of a day's wages. And this man says to this servant of the king exactly the same thing: "Have mercy upon me. Be patient with me. I'll get there. I'll get there eventually. Just have mercy upon me." And you know what this servant of the king did? Grabbed him by the throat. Said, "No. Pay it back now." Instead of showing the same level of mercy that he had been shown, the servant of the king does the complete opposite. And the other servants, they become aware of this, and in their distress, they tell the king. And this leads to verse 32, where Jesus says, "Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. Jesus then said, 'This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart.'" Again, if we don't come to a place where we can forgive others, we're no different to that servant, are we? And if we don't come to this place, then we're basically saying to God, "Well, that's great that you've forgiven me, but I'm better than you. I don't need to forgive him for what he did to me. I know you forgave me, and that's fantastic. I'm so thankful for that, but I'm better than you. It doesn't relate to me." And we may not think that when we're living our lives, but subconsciously through our actions, that is what we are saying to God. That is what we're demonstrating. If God has forgiven us and we are so ready to receive that forgiveness, but yet we can't forgive others that have done wrong against us, we're no different to this servant, are we? If we forgive others, God says he will forgive us. And again, it is going to be hard. I know it from in my own life. I mean, personally, I'm not one that struggles with this with myself. Next week, however, when we look at apologizing, I struggled with that for a lot of my life. But we'll talk about that next week. But how do I forgive someone who has ripped out my heart or ripped me off? How do I forgive someone who for years has done such and such to me or this or that? As hard as it is, it's imperative that we get to this place, because if we don't, it will be bad for us in the long run. Amen. It will be bad for us. What we'll ultimately start to see is bitterness will start to fester in our hearts, and this will infect our lives like cancer. And I've seen the effects of cancer firsthand in the last few months. It is a tragic and terrible disease. But ultimately, like cancer to our physical bodies, unforgiveness and bitterness to our souls, it leads to the erosion of our soul and the erosion of our character. Unforgiveness is ultimately bad for us. Why should I forgive? Because Christ has forgiven me. Second of all, because unforgiveness erodes our soul and our character. For some of us here today, we are living with that bitter root, that root of bitterness. And sometimes we don't even realize it, but we operate within our lives with this grudge against a particular person, against the world. We live our lives like that, don't we? You ever come across a person, you can genuinely tell if they're holding on to a grudge or they're bitter. It affects your relationships, in particular your relationship with God. But what does 1 Corinthians 13 say? Love keeps no record of wrongs. It's a passage we're all so familiar with, read out at many weddings. Love keeps no record of wrongs, but bitterness, it does, doesn't it? It actually keeps a long, detailed list of wrongs. Have you found that? It's a sort of like an infection that continues in our life. It festers away, and we keep these long, detailed lists of wrongs when people do wrong against us. The story I shared earlier, I had an experience of this firsthand, realizing what unforgiveness does to you. And last week I shared to you about my sister and the troubles she went through, the hardships she went through, and how that led to me having that label of rejection upon my life that I had to deal with in very much over the last 10 years. And when this situation happened with my friends up on the Central Coast, I realized at the time I had this sense of unforgiveness towards my sister from that past. I just couldn't forgive her for what she had done to myself and my family. And at the time, we loved her and tried to help get her through, but subconsciously, there was this level of within myself that I needed to come to a place to forgive her. And it all came out one evening after this situation wore away. It was again the straw that broke the camel's back. And I just unloaded on her with hatred and yelled. I've never been so angry in my life. I was embarrassed after that tirade. I'm embarrassed today that I actually did that. But that's what unforgiveness does in our hearts and souls, isn't it? This just came out of me from nowhere. That's not me. But this bitterness that I harvest towards my sister, it came out in a hate-filled, hatred-filled rant towards her. I would have hated to be on the end of that, let me tell you. I still grieve today that I put my sister through that. But I had to come to a place of forgiveness, and I did, thankfully. I came to forgive her for what she had done. But the reality is, again, forgiveness erodes our character and our souls. So, which begs the question this morning, who do you need to forgive in your lives? Who do you need to reconcile with today? What bitterness are you carrying around? Let me tell you, when I came to that place of forgiving my sister, it was like a burden had been lifted off my shoulders. This weight I carried, it was an unbelievable feeling. And let me tell you, those who are harvesting bitterness today, who can't get to a place of forgiveness, you may not realize this, but it's like you're weighed down by a 10-ton truck. You're just carrying this burden around with you wherever you go. No wonder you get irritable. No wonder we get angry. No wonder we get frustrated easily. This is the root of all that. And people think forgiveness means that you go on with life like nothing happens. That's not the case. You may not speak to that person ever again. You don't have to be their best friend. But at least you've dealt it within yourself. Amen. And as we deal with it, what you'll see and what you'll start to realize is that then, therefore, you can continue to grow and flourish into the man or woman of God that God is calling you to be and to do. And sometimes there's a lot of work to get through that place. It's hard to just overnight come to that place of forgiveness. Sometimes you need to work through it with a counselor or get that professional service. Ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit that will do the work in us. Amen. And that brings us to question number two. We've talked about why we should forgive. How should we forgive? First and foremost, pray that God would do a work in you. Ultimately, the only way we are ultimately going to get to this place is by the work and the grace and the mercy of the Holy Spirit. When we open our lives to Him and allow Him to do a work, that's when we can come to this place, because the Holy Spirit's role is to make us like Jesus. That's one part of His role, but a big part of His role is to make us like Him. He is the one who transforms our hearts and minds. He is the one that gives us the capacity and the strength to forgive. So again, first and foremost, we need to be on our hands and knees praying that God would do a work in and through us. Because prayer is real, and prayer does stuff, doesn't it? It's not just something we do, it does stuff. That's what I say to the youth. Prayer does stuff. It does. And what I've been praying and what I will continue to pray for each and every one of us is that we will come to this place where we open our hearts to the Holy Spirit. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit does a supernatural work in you, that you can come to a place to forgive, starting from today. In that passage that Kim read out to us, Colossians chapter 3, not only does it speak of God's desire for us to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us, that's just one part of a wider identity that this passage speaks about. And what Scripture does, and I've spoken about this before, it has a lot of theologically descriptive statements. And what that basically means is, has statements about who our identity in Christ is, basically. We spoke about that last week, our new identity that Christ has bestowed upon us. This is what this passage of Colossians 3 starts with. You have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. It starts talking about our identity, and then it talks about theologically prescriptive statements, how we are to live in light of our identity. Our identity and how we live in light of that. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, patience. These are some of the virtues that the Apostle Paul says. Forgive one another, put on love. Love binds all these things together in perfect unity. And my hope for you this week is that you sit and you meditate on this passage this week. Can we do that? Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 17. Just reflect on that this week. Journal, meditate on this passage, please do. And then when you do that, you'll notice in verse 16 it says something quite amazing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. The reality is, you and I can't forgive. We cannot live out these virtues apart from our Heavenly Father, apart from the Holy Spirit. He is the one that has to do the work in and through us. I didn't come to that place of forgiveness on my own. I didn't come to that place of being able to become compassionate towards people on my own. That my natural inclination is not to do that. God in us, working for the betterment of His kingdom. So we need to start praying, friends, family. Pray that God would do a work through us, but how else do we forgive? We pray for those who hurt us. Point number two, how should I forgive? Pray that God would do a work in us. And second of all, pray for those who hurt you. Ultimately, what did Christ do upon the cross? In the process of He dying on the cross for the sins of the world so that we may be forgiven, what did He say? Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they are doing. He's doing exactly that. He's modeling that to us. Pray for those who hurt you. Because again, it gives you a others-centered approach, a God and others-centered approach. It takes the focus of yourself, puts it on them. That's where you start to get that compassion and that humility from. God, let him be your defender. Let him worry about them. But at least you're not allowing the evil nature to corrupt you even more. But even in the middle of them murdering him and doing evil against him, Jesus prays for them. How do we forgive those who hurt us? Again, we pray for them. And Jesus said this in Matthew 5, 43 and 44. Again, that another section of that famous Sermon on the Mount, where he says, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Pray for those who persecute you. One of the most incredible stories of a man or anyone seeking to live this out was a story of a man that I met in Cambodia 7 years ago called Vondo. And I've shared this story before, but it's such a powerful story that I couldn't help share it this morning. And that's Vondo on the right-hand side of your screen there. And these are all they're all his kids, not literally, but he works at an orphanage, a children's home, and there's a number of these other houses. Vondo and his wife care for all these orphan kids. If you want another example of sacrifice and love than this, there is none, I don't think. This is just incredible. This man looks after other people's children, brings them up, and he's just one, or he and his wife are one of many couples that do this in this orphanage or children's homes called Asia's Hope. And I was over there with the members of our church, our pastors, and a few of our student pastors to the church I was at the time to discover or pioneer, I guess, the opportunity for us to possibly build a children's home in Cambodia. And while we were there, we were invited around to this man, Vondo's place. And we sat down around the table together and we started to enjoy a meal that his beautiful wife, had cooked for us. And we started to listen to Vondo's story. And he told his story, and let me tell you, it was the most powerful story, testimony that I've ever heard. And he shared about how he grew up in a rural village in Cambodia with his family. And one night, the Khmer Rouge, which was the army of Pol Pot, the communist leader who did some horrific things in Cambodia in the 1970s. The Khmer Rouge came into their village, all guns blazing, forced their way into the family's home, and they interrogated Vondo's family, his parents and the kids, and they demanded and stated that they were going to take the children. And Vondo, who was Vondo's father, who was an experienced fighter, he tried to fight them off. And after a struggle over some time, Vondo's father eventually agreed to be taken instead of his children, which he was. And he was later killed in the killing fields with thousands of other Cambodian people. This act of self-sacrifice is the true embodiment of love, is it not? A father laying down his life so that his children may live. It's exactly what Christ has done for us, amen? And this gift so readily bestowed upon us, this gift of salvation, not only are we called to embrace it, but we are to give it out also. And that wasn't, as tragic as that part of the story was, that wasn't the part that got us welling up with tears. Because Vondo continued to talk about, he knew the man that killed his father, he knew where this man lived. This man was still alive and he knew where he lived. He had seen him in villages before. He knew this man. And so the question was asked of Vondo, if you saw this man, what would you say to him? What would you do? You know his response? With tears welling up in his eyes, he said, "I would share the gospel message of Jesus Christ with him. I would share the gospel message of Jesus Christ with him." Let me tell you, there was silence all around. There was not a dry eye on this table as we just listened to this incredible story, and this story of a man who eventually came to a place of forgiveness, that he would go to the person that killed his father, murdered his father, in order to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ for him, to share God's love with this man. It puts our situations into perspective, I think, doesn't it? Our petty little issues that we get upset about and we can't forgive people for, it does in my life. I had the blessing of being under this story and listening to this story. I was just like, what have I got to worry about? The reality is, the key to true forgiveness is true humility. Amen. We need true humility to be able to come to a place of forgiveness, which is what our Lord and Savior ultimately demonstrated to us. Bondo was a man of true humility, true Christian character. But again, he didn't do it on his own. He opened himself up to the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the one that did a work in and through him. And so once again this morning, if Vondo can get to that place of forgiving the killer or the man who killed his father, surely we can come to a place where we forgive those who have done wrong against us. Again, who are those in our lives that have done wrong by us? Who are those who have hurt us? Who are those in our lives that have done wrong or hurt someone that we love? Why should we forgive? Because Jesus Christ has forgiven us. And because it will erode our character and souls if we don't. How should we forgive? Prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Pray that God will do a work in and through you and I. And pray for those who hurt us. Amen. Amen. Let's pray that God will give us the power and the strength to be able to do this, because he knows we need it. Father God in heaven, we again humble ourselves before you now. And in light of this passage, in light of this story of Vondo, ultimately, Lord, we pray that you would help us get past our past today. That you would break down the areas and the barriers around our hearts that are stopping us from living out with you, the life that you've called us to live. The barriers and the walls around our hearts that are stopping us from forgiving those who've done wrong by us. Father God, I pray for each of us here that we would not carry around that burden of bitterness anymore. That you would rip apart, that you would break the shackles that bind us. And that you would release us into an incredible new way of life. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here today, and I do again pray, if anyone here is struggling with this, I pray, Lord, that you would just bless them with the mercy and the grace that you are so ready to bestow upon them. Transform us, we ask in Jesus' name. Grow us in our understanding of you and your word, Jesus. And do all this in order that we may become more like you in thought, word, and deed. And Father, the God, as we come to sing this song of praise and worship to you now, as we sing Mighty to Save, we pray, Lord God, that you would remind us that we have been forgiven, and therefore you call us to forgive those who have done wrong by us. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join us.